Here we are in our final part of session 4 on the peace of God. We started in Psalm 4, verse 5 to 8, where God only makes us dwell in safety. And we're now going on to Psalm 37. So in Psalm 37, verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. There's just no use bothering over people who are prosperous but appear to be wicked. That's not our concern. God did not put us in charge of prosperity control or wickedness patrol. Our job is to trust God and live his word and reach out to others who want help. Verse 8, cease from anger. Just quit it. Forsake wrath. We don't want to spend our time being wrathful and angry at everybody. Fret not thyself in any way wise to do evil. It just isn't worth it. Why? Verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, and this is wait with the expectation that God will bring you deliverance, for those that wait with expectation upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. You'll be walking down the street, and there'll be this hole in the ground. And say, wow, old evil Fred used to live there. Now his place isn't there anymore. That's what it says. So don't worry about the evil in the world. Just don't worry about it. Verse 11. But the meek, those who are willing to listen to God and trust God above all else, shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. They'll be delighted in the abundance of peace. And that's what I think we should all be delighted in. We should have such great peace in our hearts because we're so confident that God will provide and protect and supply all we need, that we delight ourselves in the abundance of peace. Different people, I know people that delight themselves in abundance of automobiles. I know there are people that delight themselves in abundance of properties they own and manage. Other people delight themselves in abundance of cash or other investments. And those can all be good things in your life. But how about delighting yourself in the abundance of peace? That's what I delight in. When I am just so peaceful and so confident that God's going to take care of me that nothing else really matters very much. Sure, there are other aspects of life you have to take care of, but when you're delighting yourself in an abundance of peace, it gives you a perspective that allows you to deal with those other aspects much more rationally and much more calmly and much more joyfully. So let's read that again, verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Now continue on to Psalm 37, verse 34. Psalm 37, 34, wait on the Lord. And again, this is that word that means wait with expectation. You know, you may be waiting for the bus, but you're fully expecting it to get there, open the door, and take you to work. Or you may be waiting for your birthday, but you're waiting with the expectation that there will be a present or a party or a dinner or whatever you have planned for your birthday. It's not just sitting around waiting, there's some expectation, some hope, some looking forward there. And that's what this word means. Wait on the Lord with expectation and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked art cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, behold, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Now look at verse 37, one of my very favorite verses anywhere. Mark the perfect man and I know a guy named Mark. He never claims to be the perfect man, but I better just read the scriptures here, Brian. Mark, make note of the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is what? Peace. It doesn't say the end of that one is he's got more billions than anybody else, or he's got more better poll numbers than anybody else, or he's got more this or that than anybody else. But the end of that man is peace. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Verse 38, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off, but the salvation, the deliverance of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. Why? Because they trust in him. But again, verse 37, mark the perfect man, behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. There's another great favorite of mine, Psalm 119, verse 165. Psalm 119 and verse 165. Okay, Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So if we love God's word, which the word law here is referring to, we have great peace, and nothing shall offend them. Because if you really love God's word, you're very confident that God will provide and take care of you. So what is there anybody could say or do to offend you? If God's going to be there taking care of me, you know, what difference does it make? You know, picture you're somewhere surrounded by this huge bunch of armed guards and some guy shows up with a pea shooter. You're not going to be too worried about it. Because you got a bunch of guys, armed guards around you. Well, we have something much better than armed guards. We have God's word. Mark the perfect man. The end of that man is peace. And great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Proverbs chapter 3. And verse 1. Proverbs 3:1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And then back to verse 2. Well, let's actually read 1 and 2 again, just to summarize. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life, and what peace shall they add to thee? So as we focus on God's word, it's going to increase our life and give us great peace. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. See, with the wisdom of God, which it's talking about in the context here, you get more out of it than you get from silver and from fine gold. And you can do a lot with silver and gold. But you can get more out of the wisdom of God than you can from silver and fine gold. Verse 15. She, wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. So with the wisdom of God, you have length of days, and riches and honor. Now look at this. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. When you live your life according to the wisdom of God, every path you take is peaceful. She, wisdom, verse 18, is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. And a very favorite and well-known section in Isaiah 26. Here we are in Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed. And the word stayed can be translated steadfast or steady. If your mind is steady, it's steadfast, looking to God, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast on thee, because he trusteth in thee. See, that's the way you have peace in your life. If you put your eyes on people, on circumstances, on your own failures and faults and confusions, you'll just be miserable. But you put your life on God and His Word. I mean, you have to think about all those things. But it's one thing for me to think about my schedule for tomorrow. It's another thing for me to fix on it, worry about it, start getting nervous about what might go wrong and how terrible it'll be if this doesn't happen the way it's supposed to. And No. I look at my calendar and figure out what I have to do, but then I just keep my eyes on God and pray and ask Him to prosper all I'm planning to do tomorrow. And that's when you have great peace, because you just are confident that God will come through for you. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. That's where we get everlasting strength. Other stuff in the world may or may not help, but trusting in the Lord is where we get everlasting strength. Isaiah 32, in verse 17. Isaiah 32 and verse 17. The work of righteousness, in other words, what righteousness produces, shall be peace. And righteousness is being right before God. They attempted to attain righteousness in the Old Testament by fulfilling the law, by living the law, but nobody could do it completely. But Jesus Christ completely fulfilled the law, giving us righteousness through His work. And as we read there in verse 17, the work or the result of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quiet and assurance forever. So being righteous before God, knowing we're righteous before God, focusing on the fact that we're righteous or right before God, will result in us having peace, quietness, and assurance. What a great way to live. Lots of people walk out with turmoil, noisy minds, and lack of confidence. Well, not us. Because we're righteous before God, and we choose to focus on that, we walk out every day with great peace, with great quietness in our hearts, and great assurance that God will take care of us. That's our God. In Isaiah 48, in verse 18. Isaiah 48, 18. Oh, Isaiah 48, 18. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. Oh, I just wish you'd listen to what I said. Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. I just wish you'd listen to me. Of course, they didn't, so they didn't have that. But God said, I wish you'd listen to me. Because if you'd listen to my word, then your peace has been like a river. I mean, rivers just keep flowing. If the water's high from a lot of rain, they flow a little faster. If the river's low because it's a little, you know, not too much rain, they go a little slower. But they just keep going. They just go peacefully along between their banks. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, and had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea, nice and steady. But they didn't have peace like a river because they didn't listen to God's commandments. Well, we do endeavor to listen to God's commandments. We do endeavor to live His word, so we do have peace like a river. And then one of the great all-time verses of all time, Philippians 4. Ever since I was in high school, we used to say, when in a fix, turn to Philippians 4:6. I still think about that. I still think about these verses. Let's look at them. Philippians 4:6 and 7. And by the way, we'll be wrapping up here in a minute. For any of you that want to review any of this material, this set of notes will be posted on our website, as well as all the audio sessions. And you're welcome to review them as you wish. Philippians 4, verse 6. Let's back up to verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say what? Rejoice. Let your moderation, your gentleness be known unto all men. Because the Lord is at hand. God's here. So why do I have to be all nasty and mean to everybody? There's no reason. Because the Lord is here to take care of whatever we need. So let your gentleness be known unto all men. Then verse 6, be careful. It can also be translated anxious or sometimes mentally distracted. I would say in our modern vernacular, stressed out. Be stressed out for how many things? Nothing. Oh, but you don't know about what I'm going through. Nothing. Oh, but this has been bugging me for years. Nothing. Oh, but you don't know what those people did to me. Nothing. Oh, but you don't know what a mess I'm in, and I'm in a bind, and I don't know what to do. Nothing. Be stressed out for nothing. There is nothing going on in the world that should stress you out. Well, what are you going to do instead with all that energy when you're all stirred up and you want to get stressed out? Be stressed out for nothing, but instead, in everything, every part of your life, that part that's going well, that part that's really stressing you out, and that part you're not quite sure whether you should be happy or stressed out because you don't know what's going to happen. In all those parts of life, by prayer and by supplications, which is specific prayers, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So instead of stressing out, pray for general help from God, pray for specific help from God, and be very thankful. You let your request be made known unto God. Why thankful if I'm getting stressed out? Well, I can't tell you exactly why God put that in there, but I have found that if I take time to be thankful for what God has already done for me, it builds my confidence that He'll help me with the next problem. Sort of like you're wondering, oh, pick something. You're wondering if your car is going to start. Well, it started the last 300 times I tried it. It'll probably start again today. Why wouldn't it? And same thing, if you're thankful, well, the last 300 things I asked God for help, He helped me. I think He'll help me with this one. And there are so many ways to work on thankfulness. One technique I've often told you about, somebody told me years and years ago that if I'd make a list of 10 things I was thankful for and read it every night before I went to bed, it would change my life. And you know it did, because I ended up not going to bed worried about this and worried about that. I went to bed thinking, gosh, God helped me with this and God helped me with that. And it's not hard to find 10 things to be thankful for. Have you eaten a meal this week? Yes. Good. Do you have a roof over your head when you sleep? Yes, good. Are you healthy enough to sit upright in your chair and read your Bible? Yes, good. I mean, you could go on and on. There's so many things we all have to be thankful for. And you work on any technique or plan or system you want to stay thankful. But the more you can be thankful, the more confident you'll be in your prayer life. Because instead of focusing on the three problems that are bugging you so much, you'll be focusing on the 100 problems God's already solved for you. And it'll help you be confident that it'll help you with those three ones that are still bugging you today. So, again, Philippians 4, 6, be anxious, stressed out for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. So don't expect to explain it, because it passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's where keep is like garrison, you know, like build a fort around. God will, the peace of God will just protect your heart. So be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Well, Heavenly Father, I thank you for these wonderful, wonderful saints that have been able to participate in our class on walking with God this weekend. I pray that you will bless them immensely in the days and weeks ahead. As these things we've read in your word settle into their hearts and minds, may you work in their hearts and show them which parts of what we studied specifically and particularly apply to their lives. Help them see how to apply it to their lives, and just help them continue to walk with you and love you, so that they or their lives can be abundant and peaceful and blessed in every way, and so that they are able to reach out to others and help them gain great deliverance by trusting you as well. Thank you for this and your wonderful, wonderful love and wonderful kindness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, God bless you, wonderful saints. If the Lord tarries, we'll talk to you again. I know many of you have many great fellowship events planned in your lives for the next weeks and months ahead. May you enjoy them. May you be blessed. And when you'd like to join us at Word of Grace Fellowship, you're always welcome. But let's keep praying for each other. You pray for us, we'll pray for you. And if the Lord tarries, we'll continue to grow in your word. Have a marvelous rest of the day, rejoicing in God's goodness. Good night, or morning. God bless you. Bye-bye.